Welcome to the Get Cyber Smart Podcast, your 7 to 10 minute educational look into this crazy thing we call cyber. I am your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. And in this episode, we are going to look at what crimes against children online actually are. And if you're a parent, how you can protect your kids. So this is an interesting podcast in the sense that the particular topic I'm talking about is somewhat, it can be disturbing for investigators, can be disturbing for people who listen. I'm going to try to sanitize it to give it a kind of just an educational look so that you can understand the depth and breadth of the problem with child exploitation online. Now, this comes in many different forms, from human trafficking, distribution of images and videos regarding child pornography, kidnapping of children, things like that. So that we're going to kind of encompass that into just a general crimes against children mantra and talk about why it's so prevalent now, which it'll be pretty obvious once we talk about it. This is not an FBI-specific matter in the sense that the FBI has many agents that work these cases, and it's moved through time over different divisions, and I'll talk about that real briefly. But other federal agencies work child against children cases, Postal Service, Secret Service, I think does a little bit, Department of Homeland Security, I'm sure does some, Customs and Border Patrol will do some. And so there is a bevy of whole of government approach to this, obviously, because we want to protect kids. The nice thing with these cases is that it's one of the few areas of cybercrime that local law enforcement can participate in a variety of different ways. And largely because of there are state laws, obviously, that allow for local prosecutions to go forward to have trials to convict people, things like that. And sometimes you can get the same subject within the same area as the victim, and it makes it easier for local law enforcement to run those cases. And the FBI has kind of moved to having more local prosecutions because sometimes they can get better sentence results than federal crime can. Sometimes it can't, sometimes it can. So I'm not going to get into the details on all of that, but just know that this is one of the areas where if you were to call local law enforcement, they would want to help. The problem with other types of cybercrime, like let's say someone is scammed by a lottery scam online and lose $200,000, local law enforcement can't really do much with that. Shoot, honestly, the FBI can't do a whole lot with that either without much evidence, but it's really hard for local law enforcement to do computer intrusions and things like that. Some can, if they're large enough, large metropolitan areas, they can, but a lot of, you know, small local police departments just don't have the capability, the resources to make police officers specifically cyber agents. So, but again, with crimes against children, the nice thing they can work with their local FBI office, we'll kind of talk about that in a second. So what exactly, when I'm talking about crimes of children, what am I referring to? Well, this has been obviously not a new problem. It's been going on for probably as long as adults and children have lived together. But what has been exacerbated in the last couple decades is internet has made it easier for people with the same predilection to find others of who have the same interests and share those interests together. So the distribution largely, when we talk about this in the Bureau anyway, in a large part, when distribution of child pornography were big cases we ran, because there were huge networks of individuals trading in images and videos of children being exploited sexually. And so certainly we want to stop that. It's illegal to distribute child pornography. But obviously we want to find the people who create it if we can, because those are the ones you really want to get to. But if someone's simply trading in thousands and thousands of images, then they got to go to jail as well. So one thing to keep in mind just for your own personal awareness is that these particular types of crimes can fall to the child themselves in certain instances when we talk about things that the internet has bred, like sexting. So if you have two 14-year-olds that share images of themselves with a boyfriend or girlfriend, and then let's say, for example, that they break up and the boyfriend decides to share the images he got of his then-time girlfriend to other people, and he sends that email with a picture that might have, I mean, let's be honest, might have the girl naked or something like that, he can be arrested for distribution of child pornography. This becomes hugely problematic for them in the sense that if they get convicted of that, they become lifelong sex offenders. They have to register. They're never going to get a clearance, things like that. So if you're a parent, you really need to have that conversation with your kids in regards to this activity. Now, is it going to stop them? Hopefully it does. It may not. But you need to at least have that conversation so you can lower their risk of doing this wrong thing. And the other problem they get into is how do they know they're sending it to another teenager? They may be sending it to an adult who is then using those images to blackmail, extort, distribute them, do a lot of things that create a whole host of new issues for the child who shares those. So I'm kind of jumping around with a lot of stuff, but the big thing here to concern yourself, three really, is the distribution of child pornography images is a big crimes against children matter. Human trafficking is another huge one. And then you have abductions and kidnappings is a third big issue. Now there's others beyond that. When the FBI, those all fall underneath the criminal division under violent crimes. Those are all considered violent crimes. Now, when I was working in the Charlotte field office and when I was a supervisor in the Cleveland field office, the distribution of images fell under our cyber squad, largely because it was those cases were largely cyber-focused. You had individuals sharing those images online, so it fell to the cyber division to do that. But there was a reorganizing in the mid-2010s where that was moved to violent crime in the criminal division, which makes more sense because really this is not, cyber did not make this a new thing. This has been a long-standing problem, crimes against children, that has just been moved quicker with the creation of the internet. One of the big initiatives the FBI has run for decades now is called the Innocent Images Initiative. It's an undercover platform that looks for individuals trading in online images and looks to disrupt groups of these individuals that do this kind of stuff. Not going to get in great detail on innocent images. You can certainly Google search the Innocent Images Initiative and get more information, open source stuff that you can find online. But it started in 1992-93 timeframe. My first supervisor in the Charlotte field office, Doris Gardner, was the first case issue. Went out and bought the first computer, started the first case, and there's actually an interview I do with her on my Cyber Guy podcast from about a year ago that talks about that. So if you want more detail, you can certainly go listen to that. So a couple of things as a parent, what do you need to be aware of? Well, you need to be aware that there are people out there that are looking to target your kids to exploit them if they can. And this happens through social media accounts, through video games, things like that. So as a parent, you need to, if you are not doing so already, take a more active or more proactive approach to your kids' online activity. Instagram, for example, is probably, and I'm kind of winging this guess, I'm guessing this, but I'm thinking I'm probably close to right, is if not the number one platform, social media platform for kids, it is in the top three, certainly. They just instituted parental controls. So if you're a parent of an under 18-year-old child who is in your house and you are paying for his phone or his iPad or his computer, you have the capability to go online in the Instagram account and set parental controls. If your child doesn't want you to do that, perhaps they should not have the account, is my thought process. You do what you need to do. But one thing you should look at as a parent is have the capability to turn off their internet access to their phone. Let's be honest, most kids are using their phone for their communication. Some may be using iPads, but the majority have phones using that to share pictures on Instagram, to potentially do sexting, which we talked about earlier, and to communicate with people maybe you don't want them communicating with. So you need to have the capability as a parent to be able to restrict the time, perhaps, that they do that. I had a podcast, another one of my Cyber Guy podcasts, where I interview my daughter, who is now going to be 25 soon. And she talked about when she got her first phone, and I was probably not the best parent in the sense that I didn't really restrict her use. We trusted her. But she even said she probably spent too much time late at night on her phone. So bad on me, honestly, but it, you know, but nothing bad ever happened, which was good for us. But as a parent, if I could go back, I would probably have the capability to turn off her phone, say at 10:30 or 11, so she couldn't spend all night online. Same thing with my son. Should have done that, didn't, but I should have. So take my bad lesson and make it a good lesson for you and come up with ways to limit your kids' abilities to get in trouble during times when you may not be watching them or have the capability to watch them. There are plenty of apps that you can go find that will allow you to do this. I don't want to reference one versus the other in case it doesn't work or it's complicated. So do your due diligence, find parental restrictions for phones, and you can certainly turn off with a flick of a switch. You can make it easy and help to improve the protection of your kids online and stop the exploitation, stop those individuals looking to target them online. Be leery of online gaming consoles as well. Make sure you know that your kids know who all their friends are on their gaming platforms. If they don't, perhaps they need to not have that person as a friend. So I would query your kids and say, do you know if they have 100 friends on Xbox or PlayStation, do they know who they all are? If they're their friends from school, you're probably okay. But there are a lot of adults that utilize gaming platforms to target exploitable children to commit crimes against children online. So that is kind of a quick look. Again, the point of this podcast is not to give you full details on everything we're looking to learn, but to start you down the road of your own education so you can learn and find out information on those things that are important to you and your family. With that, no, knowledge is protection. If you understand the threats that are targeting you out there, you can assess your risk, proceed wisely online. If you have questions, thoughts, or comments, feel free to email me, Darren@cybersmart.com. I greatly appreciate you taking the time to listen. Tell a friend, and we will talk to you next week.